Hey, good morning, Oceanside Church. I am so glad to be with you today. Thanks to Pastor Joseph and Hannah for inviting me to join you virtually this morning. I am so sorry that we couldn't be there with you. My wife and I used to live on Vancouver Island for a little while, and we love the island. We're always looking for reasons to come and just enjoy the beauty and the majesty of where you live. But here we are today, and I just want to say thank you as a church. Just for being such an incredible church that loves your community, that is choosing to reach out to your community and to invite new people into the church. And so just thank you for all of that. I haven't met many of you. I'm getting to know your pastors and the rest of your staff, but just a quick introduction. My name is Len. I'm one of the assistant superintendents for our district office. And my particular role has to do with multiplication. That's the multiplication of churches and ministries, which means that I get to be a catalyst for church planting and serve as a coach for church growth. And so I'm looking forward to sometime down the road working with you and your leadership team to help you continue to reach even more people for Jesus. But in the meantime, here we are on this Sunday, on Pentecost Sundays. It's a significant day, and for some of you, that's a new term for you. You may not even be aware that it's Pentecost Sunday, and in fact, you might not even know that you attend a Pentecostal church. And so this morning, I want to just take a few minutes to talk about what it means to be Pentecostal and why Pentecost Sunday is an important day for us to pause and to really invite the Spirit to be an important part of our lives. So for the next few minutes, I just want to take us through a quick Bible survey so that you understand where it all fits. But, you know, in terms of being Pentecostal, it's not about raising hands. It's not about a certain way of singing. It's not even about speaking in tongues, which, by the way, all of those things are great, and we affirm them and we encourage them. But it's really about more than that. And so let me take you through this quick Bible survey. In the Old Testament, there were three major Jewish festivals that they celebrated. And this, I'm going to connect this for you in a minute. The first one is Passover. Now, Passover was a reminder that God had spared the Israelites when he passed over, when the angel of death passed over. And on that day, they sacrificed a lamb. And so that was an important aspect of their annual celebrations. The second major celebration was called First Harvest. First Harvest was their celebration of the first day of the week after Passover, and it was the beginning of the harvest season. It was their opportunity to commemorate Israel's entry into the Promised Land. The third major celebration was this. It was the Harvest Festival. The Harvest Festival was celebrated 50 days after First Harvest, and it marked the end of the harvest season. And so it was their time to celebrate God's abundance and thank him for all that that he had poured out upon them. And eventually it became known as Pentecost because it occurred 50 days, as I said, after the First Harvest Festival. Now, why that's important is because the church, in many ways, still follows those same three important festivals, but they're different, and in some ways we've renamed them. And so Passover has become Good Friday. And Good Friday, of course, we remember that God spared us from his wrath, and we remember that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for our benefit. A couple of weeks ago, you celebrated Easter Sunday, which is the equivalent to the Old Testament First Harvest. And it's the day that we celebrate and remember Jesus being resurrected. And it's our entry into the spiritual promised land where now we understand we have right relationship with God and we can be in relationship with him. And so today, 50 days after Easter, is Pentecost. And as I said, it's lesser known, but it's equally important. And so to fully appreciate the value and the importance of Pentecost, it's also important to acknowledge and to remember what happened between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. And so, very quickly, let me walk you through that. For 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he actually appeared to the disciples. You can read about that in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And he appeared to the disciples, and he taught them, and he ate with them, and he encouraged them. and he built them up, and he kind of reaffirmed many of the things that he had taught during his earthly ministry, and I think he prepared them for his departure. Paul also tells us that he also appeared to at least 500 other followers during that season of time. But after that 40-day period, or at the end of that 40-day period, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11 tells us that he ascended into heaven. But before he did, he shared one last promise with the disciples. And this is where I want to key in today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this was the promise that Jesus shared with his disciples, and it's the promise that he shares with you and with me. He said this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So there's this great promise that Jesus gives them just before he ascends to heaven. And then for 10 days, there was nothing. For 10 days, they gathered together. And again, the Bible tells us that they prayed together. I'm sure that in those 10 days, their hope ebbed and flowed. And they wondered when this promise was going to come to fulfillment. And some of them, I'm sure, got anxious that maybe they had misheard or misread or misunderstood what Jesus had intended. They wondered, you know, about what the next steps were going to be. But I think most of all, over those 10 days, their expectation for the fulfillment of this promise grew and grew and grew. And over those 10 days, they held closely to the promise that Jesus had given them, that they would receive power and that they would become witnesses for him. And so we read what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 says, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in another language or in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So that 120 who had gathered for prayer had this explosive experience. And because of just the incredible experience that occurred in that moment, they spilled out of the room and into the streets, and it caused a huge commotion. You see, the room couldn't contain them, but more importantly, they couldn't contain what they had experienced. They had to get out of the room. They had to get into the community. They had to step out of the place that they were. And so whatever was going on in the moment, this sort of amazing experience, was the commotion was loud enough and the excitement was great enough and the crowd was big enough that a larger crowd gathered. And this is what the larger crowd reported. It says, "We hear all these people speaking in our own languages," catch this, "about the wonderful things God has done." You see, on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Holy Spirit on all believers. And it was essentially the birth of the church on that day. So Pentecost is no longer about an abundance of grain or abundance of grapes or some other harvest, other harvested crop. Pentecost now is about receiving a spiritual abundance. We recognize that God gives us all that we need to accomplish everything he has put in our hearts to do. And so on this day, as we come to Pentecost Sunday, we're in this moment where we acknowledge, where we remember, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit that would fill us and then empower us to accomplish all that God has placed in our hearts to do. So the question is, why does this matter? Why is this important for you? Why is this important for me? Why is this important for your church? Is it a big deal to be witnesses? Why is it a big deal to speak in other tongues? Why is it, you know, important that we bring this testimony of the wonderful things that God has done? Well, here's the thing that I want you to land on. And that is, on the day of Pentecost, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, and their language was redeemed and empowered. You see, they became witnesses on that day. Now, don't misunderstand the word witnesses. It's not just about being observers. It's not that they were then charged with the task to go witnessing, as in, you know, knocking door to door, which was, you know, maybe a method that was used in the past, but is certainly less common today. And, In this current season, we can't even do it. So that's not what they were called to do, and that's not what they were empowered to do. They became witnesses in the sense that they became people who saw, heard, and experienced something extraordinary and could not help but tell others about it. And the bottom line is that is what it means to be Pentecostal, that we are filled with the Spirit and that we see, hear, and experience the living God, and out of that outflow, we can't help but tell others what God has done in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. And so this Pentecost Sunday, my invitation to you is to return to Pentecost. My invitation to you is that you would invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you so that you in turn might become a witness, that he would redeem and empower your words, that even this morning, right where you are, that he would give you a new vocabulary, that perhaps today he would give you a brand new language so you could express the amazing things that God is doing in your heart. Now, I know the pushback for some of you. The pushback is like, whoa, hang on a second. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a public speaker, I don't like talking, to groups of others. That's not my deal, and I totally get it. My dad is just a little over 80, and about a year and a half ago at his 80th birthday, all of us gathered around to celebrate this milestone in his life. And so it was his children and their spouses and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren that were all in the room. The people who loved him the most, who cherished him the most, that he should have been the most comfortable in front of. In fact, my dad's one of these guys who almost anything he put his hand to, he could accomplish with excellence and with just incredible skill. But I watched him as he held this paper where he had written out a bit of his life story, and as he shared with it, the paper shook because he was so nervous to speak in front of the people who loved him the most. And so in that moment, it was reaffirmed in me that there are so many people who have a challenge with speaking in public. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that, we're going to become a bunch of preachers or a bunch of teachers. But I do want to draw you to this idea that of Peter's own experience in the midst of this, that before Pentecost, he was a fisherman. If you read through the New Testament, you discover he was a bit of a hothead. He often spoke before he thought. His approach was often very confrontational. The Bible doesn't tell us this, but I have a feeling he probably swore like a sailor. But what we do know is that he lied to save his own skin. After Pentecost, Peter stands up and the words that he shares with others, the Bible tells us, pierced their hearts. And as a result, there were more than 3,000 who were saved. What happened to Peter? Well, it was simple. He was filled with the Spirit and he became a witness to the things that he saw, heard, and experienced. And so I want to remind you this morning that your words are important. You have an opportunity every day to curse or to bless, to communicate truths or to tell lies. You can, through your words, build up or you can tear down. You can instill shame in people with your words, or you can instill incredible confidence with the words that you speak into their lives. Especially now in this crazy and unpredictable and disconcerting season that we're in. As followers of Jesus, I just really believe that we are called to bring words of hope and bring words of blessing, that our conversation ought to be uplifting and encouraging. On social media, and if you're on a Zoom call or on the phone or especially in person, that our words would bring life and hope and strength to people. And so I want to remind you that no matter what your past looks like and no matter what your skill set is and whether or not you feel like you can speak in public or not, let me remind you that you can be a witness. With that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, with that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you can be one whose language is redeemed and who's given a new vocabulary. You can be the one who at the job site doesn't curse but blesses. You can be the one who at the party refuses to gossip but instead builds others up. You can be the one who on the sports team encourages others and cheers them on instead of criticizing them. And you can be the one who, when given the opportunity, takes a deep breath and testifies to what you have seen, heard, and experienced. So today, my prayer for you is that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. My prayer for you is that your tongue would be loosed to testify about the wonderful things that God has done. My prayer for you is that, like Peter, those who feel like they're unqualified or who have been disqualified will find their voice and begin to share the work of God in their lives. My prayer is that for you as an individual, for your family at home, and for you as a church, that because the Spirit fills you to work through you, many, many, many will put their faith and their trust in Jesus. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I'm gonna invite you to do something that for some of you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. And especially to do this in your own home, in your living room, or wherever you happen to be watching this today. I get it, it feels weird. I've been watching church services online, participating online, and you know, when they ask you to stand and sing or you know, do whatever, it just feels a little strange. I get it, totally understand it. But you know, sometimes when we take a physical step or we respond physically, it opens up our hearts and our lives for God to do something in us spiritually. And so this is gonna look and maybe feel a little weird, and some of you will not do this, but for those of you who will, I would just invite you, wherever you are right now, could you just adopt a posture of invitation? Posture where you would hold your hands out, and it's a posture whereby you're both giving, but you're also open to receive. And I would love it in this moment if you would just adopt this posture, and that you would just simply, without a whole lot of fanfare and without anxiety or fear, you would simply invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, to empower you, to redeem your language, to give you a new language so that ultimately you can be a witness, that you can speak about the things that God has done, the things you have heard him say, so that you're able to share that in a way that's just full of life and hope and strength. And so as you take this posture, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Oceanside Community Church. I thank you for Pastors Joseph and Hannah and the rest of the team there, Lord. I thank you for everybody who is watching today. I thank you, Lord, that you are working through the church and through all of those people who make that church home in such a powerful way. Lord, I pray for those today who are wanting more, who are willing to receive a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, those who feel like they are unqualified or have been disqualified, and yet there is something in them right now that would say, oh, if I could just be able to speak about the wonderful things that I've seen, heard, and experienced. And so, as we just adopt this posture, Lord, I just pray that there would be those who would be willing to invite your Holy Spirit to fill them, to do this unique work that is both powerful and precious. Lord, that there would be so many today whose lives would be filled with your Spirit, whose mouths would be filled with your words, who would find a way to testify and to be a witness to the incredible things that you have done. So come, Holy Spirit, we need you, and we ask you to fill us. In your magnificent name, we pray this. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much to Pastors Joseph and Hannah for inviting me to share with you today. Thank you so much for watching through this today, and I do pray that God has just touched you in a fresh and a new way. And again, I just want to say I just look so forward to seeing you in person whenever it's possible. God bless you. Have a great day.